Right at the top of the show, I want to apologize for the audio quality in this episode. We had some major technical difficulties on my end, and it took my editor, Randy, and I about 24 hours to fix up the audio to this slightly manageable quality. Definitely sounds like I'm in a phone booth in a subway, but hopefully you can at least hear me. Randy really did a great job making sure that it sounded as good as it can. I want to make sure that everyone knows that we will be back with our regular audio quality in the next episode. This was just a technical difficulty, and this is by no means permanent. I'm sorry if this makes any audiophiles' ears start to bleed. And without any further ado, here's the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast. We're up to episode 9 now. It's been quite a busy week, and we're once again joined by my co-host, Nick Answeeney. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great, too. How are you?
Pretty good, and wanting HomePods, as they are now ordered.
I'm glad you got those suckers ordered.
Yeah, did you get any?
No, I didn't.
Aw, no HomePods for Nick?
I just can't really find a place for it in my life right now.
Okay,
yeah, that's fair. I don't really think it'll fit into my living room ecosystem. I still live with my family. I'm 19. I don't really see that fitting into our living room.
I gotcha. Yeah, I've got plenty of space for them. And at this point, now that we've got all these smart speakers, it'll be cool to finally have the Apple one. And I'm hoping to go all in on it and to see an entire Apple HomeKit accessible smart speaker stuff. I almost feel like I have to at this point. If I weren't a tech review guy, I don't know if I'd get one. But I don't know if they've had a tremendous number of pre-orders.
I don't know. The shipping, at least a couple days ago, is still available on the 9th.
Yeah, last time I checked, they haven't been back-ordered yet. And I believe they were starting with... That could be one of two reasons. For one, it could just be not that many people are interested in buying it, which I find understandable, given $350 for a smart speaker is pretty ambitious. I mean, the Home yes. Max is cool, but I don't know a lot of people who got that. So getting people into that field is probably going to be a bit tricky. But the other reason could be Apple just maybe wanted to wait until they had a sufficient supply of them and before they started shipping, because probably they were sick of the whole AirPods issue two years ago now, is those being delayed for basically the whole year. So maybe this time they were like, let's just wait till we've got a good number of them. So could be a little of both, but... I'm anticipating that they're not selling that crazy.
I kind of think it's going to end up being a bit like the Apple TV when it first came out back in 2008, I believe. It was just kind of a niche thing, and then as Apple invested more time and resources into it, it kind of grew, and now it's an established product line.
Sure. Are you hoping that they make multiple versions of them, like cheaper ones and maybe more expensive ones that are louder?
I would definitely go for a cheaper one. If there's one in like the $50 to $100 price range, even if it's just like a Echo Dot competitor or any of the other Google Home Mini competitors, I'd probably get it. I could justify that, but it's just a little too much for nothing I'm really going to get out of it. I'm not an audiophile, so I think AirPods are just fine. I'm not really sure if I need a HomePod specifically. I think that I could do pretty well with just earpods and AirPods, excuse me. AirPods, definitely AirPods. I don't really see a place for that in my life currently. I think I could definitely settle for a HomePod between $50 and $100. A little cheaper. I'm not an audiophile, so having that better audio quality and tweeters and whatever beamforming sound doesn't really appeal to me very much, but I'm glad it's there. I know it's a niche product, and it probably end up a bit like the Apple TV, how it started out kind of just a very small product line that didn't get very much attention. And then over the years, it kind of grew into a very diverse lineup as we have today with its own app store and tvOS.
That's true. Yeah. Do you think they would do a lot better if they made more diverse ones? Like you had a mini one and then a higher grade one, kind of like the Google Home speakers right now?
I think at some point they'll get to that. Kind of how they started out with an iPhone, just the single size, and then they added the Plus and then the SE, and now we're talking about maybe a 6.1 inch LCD, but we'll get to that later. And so I think they'd be good to diversify in the future, though. I think right now they need to really nail down AirPlay 2 and multi-room audio. True. And all that stuff, because that's really missing.
Yeah. No, I think with the single one, they can get an idea of what problems they're going to have with Siri and how it holds up against the competition, and then they can decide from then what needs more improvement and what maybe they can compromise on for a cheaper model. I think that's probably the angle they're going with right now.
Yeah, see what the market looks like, getting their toes wet.
Right. I think if they did a smaller one, it probably would not be like a Home Mini. I think what Google did with the Home Mini, Apple would consider too far, like cutting down on speaker quality way too much.
Yeah.
I think Apple would be like, no, that sounds horrible. We don't even want to say that we made that. They'd probably make something that's probably look a lot like the HomePod, but just tinier, maybe a mini one that maybe starts at around 100, I would say, with Apple more like 150.
Yeah.
But that would at least get it into the hands of more people, and more people could be like, oh, okay, see, for the price of AirPods, you can have a speaker that sounds pretty good, and it'll sound a lot better than a Home Mini. But yeah, for the primary reason of being cheap, a HomePod SE, if you will.
Yeah,
that would be. But I thought it was interesting that they ditched the headphone jack on the iPhone and basically nothing else, but never put one on the HomePod. Which is fine. I'm very okay with that.
Yes, all wireless. But they do need to sort their wireless technologies out. I've heard a few tech reviewers really go hard at Apple not being able to get the multi-room audio and the peer-to-peer AirPlay out in time.
Oh, really?
But I know most of them are probably just buying one HomePod, they probably won't even notice once those features go live. So as an owner of three AirPods as of the 9th, what do you think? How do you feel about that? Do you wish that Apple would have maybe delayed the release until like April or later in the year when they can figure these things out?
The AirPlay 2. Correct me if I'm wrong. We don't have AirPlay 2 yet, or we do have it.
There's extremely limited case where you can use AirPlay 2. If you're running the latest beta on macOS, you can pair to multiple Apple TVs that are in the same room and then play the multi-room audio through the different Apple TVs. But you'd have to have multiple Apple TVs and a Mac, and it's just not very user-friendly.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's a good question. Like, if they should have waited until AirPlay 2 was at a public release to do the HomePod stuff?
Yeah.
Because I think that'll probably be a big complaint. It already has been a big complaint with all the people getting HomePods right now. Is that like the stereo mode where you connect to two at once is not ready yet, and that's coming later. And, you know, the Google Home Max has already figured that out. But the difference, I think, with Apple and Google is that Google will push something out before it's ready just for the sake of they want to have it out now. Because like I've said in my videos, I don't know if I'm a single case scenario based on the comments I've gotten on my videos about the Google Home Max. It sounds like there's other people having issues and Google making statements about it. Like the fact that, you know, they got the Home Max out there and we all bought it and reviewed it, but now the headphone jack has latency issues, the Home Max kills Wi-Fi networks, and a lot of problems like that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe just Apple wants to like wait on those types of things before they roll them out, but I suppose if they're rolling out the hardware already, then it feels kind of counterintuitive. But one thing I noticed, I don't know if everyone caught this, but I think the HomePod really is designed for a wireless future because it's adopting the Bluetooth 5.0 support, which we haven't seen on Mac computers yet, but we see it on the new iPhones that all have Bluetooth 5, which I believe means that since if you're running a Bluetooth 5.0 iPhone and you're AirPlaying it to or Bluetooth connecting it to the Bluetooth 5.0 HomePod, you'll be able to get much further away and probably deliver a much richer, higher sound quality out of it.
Yeah.
And the Home Max does not have Bluetooth 5. That's still in Bluetooth 4 area.
Really?
So, I could see how Apple might have a bit more of an edge on reliability, because I like to say that's what I'm hoping the HomePod's more reliable for, is just is more known for is its reliability than the sheer amount of loudness you can push out of it. I think the Home Max is still a bit overkill for consumers, but we'll see.
Well, that's what Apple's known for, overkill, right? Mm-hmm. Their iPhones having the best spec'd phone currently.
Right. No, and I'm so excited to hear it, because it's one of those things that, you know, the primary focus of this product is how it sounds. Yeah. And no one really, other than a few people who got to test them early, knows what it sounds like. And you don't get to know that until you unbox it and plug it in. And based on all the reports of what people have said who have messed with it, it sounds really cool, because they're saying it's just kind of next level immersion, stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you hear the report that there might not be very good mids in the HomePod? Like, they have the tweeters and the bass, but I just saw a headline this morning that they might not have very good mid section.
As far as it might, audio thing. I haven't heard that. I'm not an audiophile. Usually I'm just like how clear is it? And if it's good, then I'm fine. I'm guessing that they probably, when designing the HomePod, were deciding like, okay, we've got treble, bass, and mid. If we nail two of these things, then people won't mind much of the lacking one. Yeah. So they probably just saw tweeters, subwoofer, make that the priority. And if the mids aren't all there, not as many people will notice. And I'd probably fall into that category, sadly.
Yep.
Is that I when I'm reviewing speakers or when I'm reviewing sound quality, I'm typically looking for bass. That's how I determine like how premium of a speaker it is. And based on the fact that it's a pretty large subwoofer in there, I'm guessing that I'm going to like the sound of it.
Yeah.
But it likely won't get to the volume of the Max. I think that's really, really loud, really, really overkill.
And the HomePod's really small. It's only as tall as an Apple Pencil is. So
it's significantly smaller than the Max, which it's priced fairly close to it. So I think that'll probably be a tough sell for a lot of people. Especially, it's going to have a hard competition when it's competing with Alexa and the Google speakers, which are much cheaper. So this, like you said, is probably more of a niche. Like, this is really just for the Apple enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And it might be a few months or a few years before they make the cheaper ones that more and more people can experiment with. But yeah, I don't think it'll be one of the top selling Apple products this year. I think it's more of a toe in the water for Apple, just kind of experimenting.
They have quite the history with sound and music, so, and they have the iPod hi-fi system. Mm-hmm. They've revolutionized the music industry with iTunes, and, you know, even back to the early days with the Macs, they were always very eager to get on the music train. So
I think, and kind of exclusively bringing it to Apple Music, I think, is a turnoff for a lot of people.
Yeah, true. Do you think that they'll ever, like, allow users to do Spotify or other third-party applications like Pandora on the HomePod? Yeah. Or do you think they'll keep it exclusive?
Well, I kind of think of it as, you know, you can still load all that stuff on your phone and just Bluetooth connect to the HomePod, and it would technically do it. But I feel like it's one of those things where if you're willing to spend $350 on a smart speaker, I'm guessing you have Apple Music. If you don't have Apple Music and you have Spotify, then you're more likely to buy an Alexa or a Google speaker. But I think more of the HomePod inclusion is just the Apple-ness of it, the fact that it's Siri built in and not anything else. And so yeah, they might add that at some point, but I think that not anytime soon. It's gonna stay a Apple Music exclusive, and Apple's pretty for sure that they have the best music streaming service. I think they do. I've messed with Spotify before, and it's good. They're all pretty close in terms of what they can do. But yeah, I'm fine with sticking on the Apple Music side of things.
Yeah, definitely want to stay in the ecosystem. I know with the Beats X headphones, Apple included a 3-month free trial of Apple Music. Do you think that there'll be any free trial bundled in with the HomePods? I don't know.
There really should be. I mean, I guess there's a Anytime you haven't had Apple Music, don't you get 3 months of free trial anyway?
Yeah,
So
I need to count that
I
hadn't had.
suppose that if you buy a HomePod and you didn't have Apple Music, you at least get 3 months of it free. It's just kind of one of those, some people would classify it as the annoying inclusion of you will subscribe to our service, like you
Yes.
don't have a choice, which I guess is kind of Apple's way of doing things. It's our way's the best way.
Oh, of
So that'll
course.
deter a lot of people, and I'm sure that, like yourself, a lot of people just can't justify buying that, spending all that money on something that you can't really fit into your lifestyle. But what I imagine getting annoying is now every time you go to an Apple store, there's going to be a really loud speaker going off in the back just because
That
they need
is
to demo
annoying.
it.
Yeah, all those carrier stores that always have like JBLs or like even Target that has those,
Ugh,
it's like
drives me
five different
nuts.
songs playing at 100% volume at the same time, just like,
Yeah.
ay, ay, ay. Why did
Can
they think this is a good idea?
the Apple stores have like a dedicated sound section where
Yeah.
they have a soundproofing door that they go behind and they're like, okay, now we'll listen to the HomePod. But I could clearly I love the idea of them diversifying that lineup because I don't have many good things to say about Google, but that's one thing I think they did right was the speaker lineup. They went from extremely cheap, probably a little too cheap, and then all the way up to overkill to where it's the loudest smart speaker, sounds really good, but also gets unbearably loud to the point where it's like this should almost never be at 100. I believe we've set our home max to 100% like a total of 10 times in the
Yikes.
times we've owned it. It's just you can't be in a place and play that for a long time. It's just completely over the top. So I'm and I've listened to the regular Google Home, the one that's been out for a couple of years now, and I
Yeah.
still think that that's not quite premium enough. So when I'm looking at the HomePod, I'm feeling that's going to be kind of the perfect middle ground. Like it can get really loud, sounds really good, but not too loud, not so overkill that you're never going to use it, and it's small enough that you can put it in portable places. Whereas the Home Max is heavy. It's like taking a microwave somewhere anytime you move it or something. So
Thanks.
I'm guessing that because just I'm an Apple sheep, the HomePod's gonna fit in perfectly in between all of those different speakers. But yeah, I'd love to see all Apple's idea of how to diversify that evenly, having a cheap one that sounds pretty good and a giant one that rocks the house. And
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where this lineup goes.
Do you think after sorry, going back to the AirPlay and peer-to-peer and like multi-speaker
Oh, yeah.
setup, since you're getting three HomePods, do you think that you'll be able to tether those in the future at some point? That would be kind of cool, having three HomePods all on the same desk acting as stereo speakers.
I don't know if three can do the stereo mode, but my definite idea, my plan was to get two and eventually. I wasn't planning on getting two up front, but since I figured the max I'm not keeping regardless, might as well get them now. Because I didn't want to wait for shipping, but it turns out I had nothing to worry about. But either way, I decided like it'd be really cool if just my iMac Pro setup was a HomePod on either side, and they paired as stereo, and then that was my iMac Pro setup. So that's why I got the two space gray. But yeah, that was another idea I had. It's just because the office is so big now, we could easily have one in each room, and then mess around with the multi-room support, or I'm hoping Siri has a type of play on all speakers mode. I don't know if they do that yet, but what I'm hoping the HomePod does is encourage Apple to really push Siri to be more functional and more
Definitely.
competitive next to the other speakers now that they have a whole product line that basically the only way with interacting is Siri. So I'm hoping it pushes it, but yeah, I'm really glad I'm not getting just one because now I can experiment with all the different modes down the line. So
Yeah.
I'm planning on keeping them, and they'll
That's
have
good.
places, I'm sure.
Where do you think you'll put them? Probably one in the tech room, one in the podcast room, or where are you thinking?
We've been spending a lot of time recently in the gaming room. We might put one in there, which would be
Okay.
kind of ironic because there's the
Yeah.
least amount of Apple stuff in there. But likely the kitchen, maybe, or the. But yeah, like you said, the tech room, or I don't know. I kind of really like that idea of them stereo pairing. So as soon as that mode's available, I think I'll probably keep the two space gray ones together, and then the white
Yeah.
one can go in the kitchen or the gaming room, wherever. That's our freebie. We can move it freely to wherever.
Well, maybe you just need another 3 HomePods on top of your current 3
Yes,
to get one for
of
every room.
course. 3's not enough.
You got to have one in the bathroom too.
That's right. I thought about taking one home, but my apartment's very empty and there's not much there. I would, if I brought it back home, I would have to find a whole new set array of smart home devices anyway. So
Yeah.
I figured, nah, this is my Apple sheep kingdom. It makes the most sense to keep everything here.
Smart.
If they made a mobile home pod, I'd be
Ooh.
really eager to get that. I guess that's any iPhone. But if they made like a, it looks just like a HomePod, but also has a battery packed into it. Maybe it's a little wider or something. That'd be cool, just to haul around.
Yeah, like a
I would get
boombox.
that. Yeah, I love my Mega Boom. I would use that all the time.
Yeah.
So
Did
it's just
you,
cool.
when you ordered your HomePods, did you opt for any AppleCare?
I didn't, mostly because when they asked about it, it was like, well, what am I going to do to the HomePod? What do I
Yeah.
need AppleCare for? I mean, for people who don't know, there's still a limited warranty you get no matter what. Meaning, like, if there's defective or glitchy, it's probably just like AirPods. You can take it back and they'll replace it. But if you get the AppleCare one, I'm not sure what that protects, but I saw it was $39, I believe.
Yep, $39. I'm not sure what that'd be quite the party you'd have to be having to wreck an
Yeah.
entire HomePod.
I don't know, like I plan on setting them up and then never moving them after that, so I'm not
Yep.
exactly sure what the Apple Care covers, but I guess you gotta have Apple Care on everything. If they
Of
drop it
course.
in water, someone will do that.
Yeah,
Waterproof
that's
HomePod.
likely. Have it like right on top of your punch bowl for a party.
I'm curious of the texture, because I've
Yeah.
felt a lot of different speakers in the past, and like the Google Homes kind of have this fabricy top to them, but it's very solid. It doesn't flex in any way. The Mega Boom kind of has something similar, but it's a bit more woven. You can feel the grain of it. I'm looking at the fabric mesh of the HomePods, and I'm curious if that's like a flexible fabric or if it's more of like a hard, unmoving kind. I'm not sure. I'm excited to
Yeah.
try it out.
I'm excited to see you try it out.
There's not a lot of different brand new product lines that are launched from Apple, so this should be interesting. I'm curious.
So speaking of new and old product lines, obviously Apple is always trying to reinvent iOS.
Yes.
Quite the news week this week. Not only did we get HomePods announced for pre-order, available for pre-order, but there were some software things. Can you tell me about some of those? What's your favorite part of 11.3?
Oh yeah, 11.3. I was curious what you were referring to. By far, iCloud Messages. I've been waiting for that so long.
Yes.
And I was almost certain they were ditching it, because they
Yeah.
had grayed out the option in Messages, and they had just said, "Nah, we're not going to do that anymore." Maybe they found out it would take up too much cloud storage, and they couldn't do that yet. But yeah, nope, they turned it on, and now, from what I believe, you can't turn it off. Or maybe if you just say not now, then they don't turn it on.
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
don't. I when I look in settings and messages, I don't see a iCloud messages off. So I believe they ask you at once when you open messages, and then if you say use iCloud messages, there's a little alert at the bottom that says, syncing with iCloud,
Yeah.
and then that goes and you're done. And I'm so happy about that. And it's kind of weird because I won't know if it works until later.
Yeah, when you get a new iPhone.
If I get a new iPhone or new iOS device and boot up, and then the messages will appear, I'll be like, okay, it does work.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out in time. But I've been wanting that for a very long time, so I'm
Yes,
glad it finally
definitely.
came here quite randomly.
Just looking in settings, there is a toggle under iCloud in
Oh,
11.3
okay.
that allows you to toggle messages. I don't know if that turns
That
that on
makes
or
sense
off,
that it would
but
be in iCloud instead of messages, yeah.
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that works. What's that?
How much space did uploading your messages to iCloud save you?
From what I believe, not much.
Really?
If I look in iCloud settings here, let me take a look. I have the 200 gigabyte plan,
Okay.
and most of it's used by photos.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not sure if that counts as the the messages. If I look under manage storage here, it'll tell me. Messages takes up 2.9 gigs on the iCloud. So most people get 5 gigs for free. So I know it doesn't take up too much, but what it does do is free up all that space on your phone to begin with.
Yes.
Because I believe now all that stuff won't be stored locally, which I didn't care about anyway, because I usually have the largest storage
Yeah.
option. But it is nice for people with smaller storage phones, because iOS 11 runs on pretty old devices that used to have, I believe, the 16 gigs. So
Yep.
I could see that being very useful for people now that that's not stored locally. But I was mostly excited for messages because I hated that I would have all these histories with people and all their conversations were saved. But as soon as I got a new device, it was gone. I kind of hated that about buying a new phone, but now I
Yeah,
don't
me
have to
too.
worry about it. So that's cool.
I've gone through many interesting processes to try to keep my messages, just making
Yeah.
iTunes backups and then going through some
Oh,
ancient file
yeah.
history thing, and I don't know what I did, but
I
I followed the
think
guide
there was a
network.
program I found that
Yeah.
could
iBackup, I
download them
believe.
all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor of this
I've
show,
heard of
but
that. No. It was something like $40. I was like, eh, no
yeah.
thanks.
I've been keeping a message history basically since I've had an iPhone. I've been very careful to keep mine from a phone to phone. Right now it's taking 18.8 gigabytes in my iCloud storage messages is.
Wow.
So it was exciting to get that off my
Dang.
phone.
Yeah, I was gonna say that probably took a while to
I guess I never realized when it happened. Like, you never
upload.
really got a loading bar. Like, for a split second, I saw at the
No, not
bottom of
really.
the feed, it was saying uploading items to iCloud, and then it disappeared pretty quickly. I was like, there's
Yeah,
no
I saw
way that
that
it
too. It
uploaded
didn't.
all of them already.
I was wondering if like maybe it did all of the text part of it first, and that's what it's showing, because I imagine backing up just the text themselves is probably not that hard. It's just kilobytes of data.
Yeah.
But perhaps after that it starts working on the pictures and that's more held in the background. Pictures and videos, I'm guessing, take up the most.
Definitely.
But
Gets pretty
yeah,
big quick.
I'm really glad they did that. I saw and there was some leak. I don't think it was iOS 11.3. They found reference to a product referred to as Modern iPad,
Yes,
which
I
people
saw
were
that.
getting excited for because the iPhone 10 was referred to as the Modern iPhone in old code. So
Ooh.
they were assuming that that meant an iPad with Face ID. So that kind of confirmed it for a lot of
I
people.
can't wait.
Yeah, that's. I just spent all this money on my last one, and now all the new one's about to come around.
The Apple sheep in me already has his credit card out.
Oh,
Let me
goody.
buy it, please.
I hope they do more, something more interesting with the color options. I was kind of hoping that the iPad lineup would follow more what the iPhone 7 color options did, but they stuck with the traditional gray, silver, rose gold, gold. I was like, oh, I wish they
Yeah.
would. It would get more creative with that. I would love to see like a matte black iPad or a product red, or I'm curious if this time, because of the iPhone 10, maybe they'll go with stainless steel edges on an
Ooh.
iPad. I don't know. Like there's so many
That would be cool.
uncertainties, but at the same time, there's a bunch of certainties like, okay, Face ID, of course, that'll be there.
Yeah.
But we don't know about wireless charging. It's like that's something they might take a big jump towards, or they might decide, nah, it's too big of a change, and we'd have to make expensive wireless chargers and stuff like that. But I really want them to take that jump. I think it'd be cool if they were the first company to do wireless charging on a device that big. It'd be really interesting to see.
Yeah, probably take up a whole air power just to charge it at 12
Yeah, I
watts
was
or
gonna
something.
say. Then I'm guessing this air power thing is not like Qi charging.
No,
I'm
there's no way it
assuming
can
that
be.
it's. Yeah, I'm assuming it's more than just like three coils on the inside,
Yeah.
so that wherever you put your phone, it charges it. I'm guessing that because it charges these tiny little AirPods, and it also can charge your tiny little Apple Watch, there must be some kind of different technique with the inductive charging that's better somehow.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, couldn't they implement that type of charging into the iPad so that the AirPower is big enough you can just rest your iPad on it and starts charging? That'd be impressive.
That would be very impressive. Love that.
I
I
saw that
recent.
watch. Go
Go
ahead.
ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay. I saw that watchOS 4.3 was available to beta developers, and it adds, for one, it adds a new charging animation, which was really neat. And yes. Second, it adds nightstand mode in portrait, which means that your Apple Watch does not have to be on its side to activate nightstand. And people were saying this is because it's getting ready for AirPower. So maybe the AirPower release is not that far away. Maybe they're getting software at least ready for it. But I'm really excited for that because, I don't know, I just, I can think of so many places I want to put an AirPower mat. So I'm very worried about how much it's going to cost. It's going to be expensive. I know it.
Going to be like the price of a HomePod?
Oh, I hope not. I'm hoping it's more like $200. A lot of people say that's too much. And I'm like, eh, it's Apple.
Yeah, they never
to shock us.
Never underestimate the power of Apple.
That's right.
Positioning a price. Yeah. Right. I was experimenting with some really cheap Qi chargers I found on Amazon that I'm pretty sure are going to give me cancer. But
oh no!
Oh well. Oh, I'll be fine. I found some Qi chargers on Amazon for like $2.30 or something. So I ordered like six of them, and I figured, hey, this will be a fun little experiment. We'll see if they work and.
You know, yeah, yeah.
If I can make my own air power kind of a thing using multiple coils.
Custom air power, yeah.
Yeah. I did come up with something, but I found out that if you stuff too many coils in too small of a space, none of the coils will work. It's kind of funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it That's has to be the only thing in the vicinity of the iPhone's charge coils. On the back needs to just be one single Qi charger. You can't have like two or three like overlaid.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I was trying to experiment with different shapes, like and the Olympic rings. You know how those are organized?
Oh, kind yeah,
of overlaying
yeah, yeah.
a little. I tried doing that. I couldn't get them to charge, but separately they work.
That's
fine.
Weird.
So
okay.
Anyway, it's definitely different technology and air power. It'd be exciting to see the teardowns and see what everyone sees inside.
Yeah. Do you know? I'm not sure. Because I got mixed reports saying that all Series 3s will charge with air power, but Series 2s do not.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
So there's something hardware-wise they've added to the Series 3 Apple Watch to fit for air power.
Yeah,
and I'm not exactly
so.
Sure what it is. I don't think it's like a... I don't think it's the same thing as Qi, because no Qi charger can charge an Apple Watch right now.
I got one of my Qi chargers to pause my watch for like charge my watch for like a millisecond.
Yeah, no, I did that same thing. I remember vlogging
like,
it. I had
it's
that.
Working.
Yeah, I had that mobile Qi charger.
Oh, yeah.
And when I put my watch on that, I could get it to charge for about a second, and then it would turn off.
Yeah, as soon as it locks, it stops charging.
So there's something. It's something similar, but it's definitely not. Like an actual supported mode. So whatever they put in the Series 3 Apple Watch, it can do something like Qi, but it isn't Qi. It's something different. So I'm wishing Apple would elaborate more on that, or how it's going to work, or hopefully one day make a charge mat like the size of a big mouse pad, and you can put your laptop on it and charge it that way. I'm excited to see that happen and come to life.
Yes,
I'd love
please,
doing
Apple.
That. No cables.
Any day now. I'll pay whatever you ask.
Yeah, that
Any
would
day.
Be a very expensive charger.
It would be.
Yeah.
But it would be worth it. Completely
I think
wireless.
So. Never having to worry about plugging things in again. That's better than MagSafe. There's no wire.
No wire to strip on. Look at that.
Exactly.
So I know you have an old 6 Plus, right?
Yes. That's my Frankenstein phone.
Yes. Have you experimented with the battery management options in 11.3?
Well, there isn't any right now. 11.3 just turns off the down throttling feature, which Apple implemented. But there's no setting that reactivates it.
Yeah.
So I think that they're correct in saying that the down throttling and showing your battery health options will be an option, but it wasn't in 11.3. I thought it would be. So I do have 11.3 on my 6 Plus now, and I can say that I don't really notice a change in the performance, other than when you do like a Geekbench test, you see the scores being higher. But I really think that people blew up at Apple about the down throttling thing wrongly, because I think what they're confusing is the fact that their phone is old and that there's a laggy operating system on it because things slow down over time. You know, the phone is running an operating system it wasn't made to run. It can work on that phone, but it's going to mean that when time goes on, your battery degrades. Lots of parts of the phone degrade. It's not going to run as good as it used to. And I think they took all of that lagging and they took all of that slow down thing and now thought, oh, that's because Apple is making it do that. Like, that must be an Apple thing. And I don't think that's what it is. I think Apple downclocked the CPU, which means that, you know, when you export something in iMovie, it exports slower now. Or you're installing a new operating system update, it updates slower because the CPU is slower. That's what I think it truly affects, because having run 11.3 on my 6 Plus, the laggy parts of it are still there. It's not like it runs buttery smooth now. It's not like it's just been fully throttled to its maximum speed. I mean, I'm sure that now things are faster in iMovie and when you software update, but I don't think in terms of actual glitchiness or app loading times and lag in the home screen or whatever. That's still going to be there, and people are probably going to get upset when they find out that, no, that wasn't Apple. That's just your phone getting old.
Yep. I kind of liken it to a car. You don't expect a 2005 car to work just as good as it did when you first bought it there.
Exactly. And replacing one thing does not fix the whole car, you know. There's a lot of moving parts.
It's not going to fix the brakes.
Sure. I mean, replacing the whole engine doesn't even fix everything. There's still going to be issues as time goes on. It's just how technology works. Things age. And I think that based on the fact that phones age and they get slower and they get laggier over time, people were thinking, oh, all of that must be because of Apple. Apple did all this intentionally. It was like,
just to sell more iPhones.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It makes your phone last longer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're just trying to help, and this is how they get repaid.
Yeah, getting lost, getting sued.
Poor Apple. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not poor. They'll be fine.
No, they're rich. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they say on February 1st or 2nd, whenever their earnings call.
Yeah, that's right. That's coming up.
Yeah, we're gonna see how they did on iPhone 10 sales.
That's what I'm most curious about, because the rumor keeps going around that they didn't do too well, but I think that means they didn't exceed all expectations. They met expectations, which was already pretty high.
Yep.
That's what I'm assuming is going to happen. We'll see.
I would agree with that, but we will see. Mm-hmm. So the last little fun thing in iOS 11.3 was some new Animojis. What is your favorite Animojis? Yeah.
I got to love that dragon one. It's very detailed. It's eyes. Got all this little...
That is my favorite part. I wish that all the other Animojis could see your eyes moving, because sometimes it's kind of fun to like look away or whatever, do different things with eye tracking. And I'm thinking if the iPhone 10 can detect when you're looking at it with Face ID, then why can't they add this into Animoji? And there it is.
Right. I wish they could add in tongue tracking. I know it's not that important, but if they were able to notice when your tongue sticks out, I think that'd be funny, because that's what you're made to do with Animojis. Yep. I thought that'd be fun to see. Yeah. I know it's probably asking for too much, but I feel like Conan could figure that out.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too much, but I think that'll be the feature that 11.3 is remembered for in 5 years. The new Animojis, because, you know, that's all people care about in reality. I think
Animojis
that'll be
all
the,
that matters.
Yeah, you know how people only update their phone because they're new emojis every once in a while. I think that'll be a reason why they update their phone.
It'll be tricky with a 2018 iPhone, because that'll also have Animojis. So will Apple make better Animojis that are exclusive to the Plus model? So if you buy the Plus iPhone 10 Plus, then you get certain Animojis that everyone else doesn't. That'll be controversial. We'll find out.
Exclusivity.
That's right. That's what Apple's built on.
Yep.
Can you think of some exclusive features that the 10 Plus would have that the regular 10 won't? This year?
Multitasking.
That's possible.
I would for sure like to see PIP, picture in picture.
Oh, really?
I think I would use that like a lot. Just even watching your YouTube videos sometimes. I don't want to only be in YouTube. I'd like to have a little tip window and be able to manage my email or text someone or do something else.
Well, sadly, we know because of the iPad that YouTube wouldn't add PIP anyway.
Sadness. I think Safari supports it on the Mac. So if you, I know on the Mac, if you're on the web version of YouTube, you can run a PIP window through there. So maybe you just have to.
I think I brought that up once. It's very backwards. Twitch supports picture-in-picture on iOS, but they don't support it on Mac. Whereas YouTube supports picture-in-picture on Mac, but not iOS. I don't know why it works that way, but it's just the players, I guess, for some reason.
Yep. No one ever agrees on anything. See, I think that'll be the main standout feature on the 10 Plus.
On the 10 Plus. Yeah, there's not much I can think of. I suppose that the cameras might have some kind of advantage. Maybe when they're designing a phone that is much larger now, they can embed a larger sensor or something, because we've reached the point now where, you know, the old exclusive with the Plus models, ever since there was a Plus model, was the iPhone 6 Plus had optical image stabilization. And then when they moved up to the 7 Plus, it had a dual camera. But this year we're going to have two-sized phones. I'm still assuming the 6.1 inch won't be a thing. I don't want it to be a thing. If we have the iPhone 10 and 10 Plus, both will have dual cameras, both of which are optically stabilized. So what will the 10 Plus camera-wise be exclusive to? I'm not sure. I'm guessing maybe a larger sensor or something, so maybe more megapixels, or maybe for some reason the 10 Plus will do 5K or whatever. I don't know. Some kind of minor upgrade. I'm not sure, but I'm curious to see how that turns out.
Yeah, that would also be crazy.
Price. I don't know what 10 Plus will start at. It's probably going to be crazy.
Yeah, well, you get it on a monthly plan, it's only $5 more or whatever. It's
probably
I could see that. Extra $5. Yeah. Well, I think also the iPhone 10 has been rumored, 10 Plus, excuse me, has been rumored to have a single cell L-shaped battery. So right now on the iPhone 10.
That's right, I saw that.
A dual cell battery that's shaped like an L. But I think somehow they're trying to get it to be an L-shaped battery, a single cell that should provide a little more power.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I've seen a lot of interesting reports about the L-shaped in the regular 10, because you know how lithium degrades over time.
Yeah.
So I've heard they programmed each battery in the 10, because it technically has two. They're both at the exact same percentage at all times. They have to drain them equally. That way you don't have one that gets degraded over time and the other one doesn't.
That's interesting.
I think just for power usage, they had to make sure those were even. Yeah, I was curious, like, well, if you made one always go out first, that means the second one would almost never get used because it would only be used below 50. So it'd be weird to see how that ages. But yeah, I'm glad they're working on a way to combine it for the next one. I'm not sure if that means either this year's or the last year's iPhone 10 will degrade faster in terms of battery. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. That Plus will probably have a really long battery life. Think of how big that battery is.
The iPhone 8 Plus's battery, plus a little extra because they have the smaller logic board.
That's right. They can stuff it all into a smaller space. So yeah, that'll be an interesting battery life. It'll probably get closer to 14 or 15 hours. I don't know. Maybe that would be nice. Larger screen will use more battery or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that is always a compromise. Maybe they'll make it a little thicker. I could totally go for an iPhone 10 Plus that's as thick as a silicon case, but with no camera bump.
And sure, sure.
I'd totally sign up for that. That would be awesome.
But yeah, I've always favored features over thinness. In fact, I don't know a lot of people who prefer thinness, which is why I'm glad there's this new Apple trend of making things thicker recently for the sake of more stuff. A lot of people forget that. Steve Jobs was around. He was all about making things thinner. And for a long time, it was that was every single year. They're thinner than before. They're thinner than before. But I think the 7 was the first time they stopped that trend and said, this is actually slightly thicker, but the battery's better.
I believe it was the I believe it was the 6 Plus. They made it slightly thicker. The I'm sorry, 6S, excuse me.
Yes, 6S. Right. That had the it had new version of aluminum too.
Yeah, made it a little more
and
rigid.
When I go back to holding my 6 Plus, I'm always kind of shocked by that. I'm like, man, they made these things super thin, but honestly, I don't think it was worth it. I think I'd rather have the bigger battery and stuff.
Yeah, Apple was first to the flexible smartphone market.
Yeah, that's right.
Bent gate.
Because it happened to 10 phones. Therefore, yes. Everyone's is bent.
Unbox therapy, like, applied a bunch of pressure on it, and it bent.
Yes.
How dare they?
He was half of them. Yep. He was five of them. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I still have my 6 Plus. It's perfectly straight. There's no bendness to it at all.
It's Apple engineering for you. Don't abuse it. It'll last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the last part of software updates that we got this week was macOS 10.13.4 Beta 1. That's a mouthful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It had a few two interesting things basically. There were references inside the code for a standalone podcast app, and
I
don't know how you feel about that, but I think iTunes is bloated as it is right now, and it really needs to be cleaned up, and they need to fix that as soon as possible because you have like music, so movies, TV shows, like all these different little submenus, and then the store inside of each one of those submenus, and the search box has, it's bloated. So I would really like to see them in the next build, like 10.14, whatever it is in WWDC.
Yeah,
them split all those apps up and have like podcast, music, and movies or whatever.
Yeah, they could kind of do what is going on iOS. It'd be kind of interesting to have like the. You know, they have the Mac App Store, then next to that you have iTunes Store, and then you have a second app just for Apple Music, and that's where all your music is, and then a podcast app. Yeah. No, I think you're right. That's a good idea. I'd prefer that. I hope they go that route, because I agree. iTunes is kind of annoying to sort through now with all of its different subsections, especially now there's Apple Music, which is separate from your personal library, and now there's video content coming to Apple Music. It's just all over the place. So
yeah.
No, that's a good idea. There's one thing I can look forward to for the next macOS build, 10.14 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, another thing you can look forward to is possibly unsupported 32-bit apps. So for those who don't know, 64-bit apps are what almost all computers are made these days on. Double the architecture. And in iOS, I believe the 5C was the last iPhone that was sold that ran 32-bit architecture. And just recently in iOS 11, Apple removed support for 32-bit apps from the App Store. So if you try to go open a 32-bit app on iOS 11, it'll say, sorry, can't do that. The developer needs to update itself. But likely that's coming to the Mac in the summer as well. So I'd love to see all the haters get all upset about their 32-bit apps not working. But 32-bit is such an old standard that kind of means that developers haven't touched their app in like 3 or 4 years. So.
That's true. No, I think that Apple's always known for getting people to move along with new modes and new features.
Yes.
So yeah, that would apply to 32-bit as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, just wanted to slide that in there. Let's talk about the most annoying rumor on planet Earth this week, the 6.1-inch LCD iPhone.
Yeah, God, I hope that's not true. I really don't want that at all. I don't understand why people keep calling a $700 iPhone a budget iPhone. How is that in the realm of cheap?
Nope. 5C.
I guess it's cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the, do you think any of this is true, or do you think everyone's just completely wrong?
I hope everyone's wrong, and I totally get your point with Apple faking us out, but at the same time, I'm scared. I wouldn't get one, like, not in a million years.
No.
It doesn't have 3D touch. Like, that's kind of the biggest holdup for me, in the rumor at least. It's not supposed to have 3D touch. And since the iPhone 6S, we've been moving towards every single iPhone having 3D touch. And I think if the
Apple Watch has 3D touch.
I know, yeah. So does MacBook.
Force Touch, yeah.
Force Touch, yeah. Force Touch MacBooks. Hasn't come to the iPad yet, but it'll get there. But I think Apple has been moving towards a future where 3D touch is standard, and app developers can design their apps to have 3D touch support, and like have that mm-hmm. as a baseline. Like, I know every single iPhone is going to have 3D touch, and I think they've been moving towards that. The last phone right now that's not sold with 3D touch is the SE, and hopefully they fix that with the SE 2.
Yeah.
And then once that happens in like 2 or 3 mm-hmm. years, I could totally see Apple redesigning iOS from the ground up with 3D touch in mind. Like, maybe they can remove the share buttons, or, you know, like a right mouse click on a computer. Sometimes you don't know that mm-hmm. There's no visual cue to say if you right mouse click on Safari on the dock, that'll give you the force quit option. And so I think mm-hmm. you could do other things with 3D touch on the iOS user interface to kind of make it a little more mainstream. But I think main point here, if Apple yeah. does do this non-3D touch 6.1-inch LCD iPhone, they're setting themselves back like 3 or 4 years in this whole future of getting everyone on 3D touch. So mm-hmm. anyway, it's kind of infuriating.
Yeah, I don't think they would bet all of that. Yeah, I don't think they would bet all of that new display size, because that would be the largest display we've ever seen in an iPhone before, if you're just not counting the fact that the 10 Plus would hopefully be coming out alongside yeah. it. The fact that they would bet all of their, you know, they would have to design displays so differently to get it to accommodate the rounded corners and Face ID notch and not implement 3D touch. All for a $700 price point? Like, that doesn't seem worth it to me, because that is by no means a budget iPhone. If you're spending $700, no. Why not at that point, you know, the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus will be closer to $500, $600 by then.
Yep.
Having a display without 3D touch or that lower pixel density that's LCD with the curved corners and the notch on the largest display of an iPhone, other than the 10 Plus, which I don't think a lot of people will get just because it's too overbearing, but man,
yeah.
that's such a gamble. And for $700, mm-mm. you know, the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus will be closer to $500, $600 at that point. And they'll have 3D touch. They'll have a dual camera. Mm-hmm. They'll have wireless charging. I don't get how none of the rumors make sense to me. I personally think it could be Apple just trying to flood the rumors with bad stuff so that people don't expect too much and they keep anticipation low.
Yeah.
Controlling, or again, like discontinuing the iPhone X, maybe that encourages people to get it now. I don't know. These are just theories of mine.
Apple has many full-time employees that contemplate all of these things.
That's true.
Predict what people will do based on leaks.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. If it does, I don't believe all of the rumors are going to be true about it. I can't imagine Apple maybe going with a 6.1-inch display instead of a 6.5. So maybe we're getting a combination of a bunch of different rumors. Maybe it's a 10 Plus rumor mixed with an iPhone SE rumor.
Yeah.
Just kind of all jumbled into one. I'm not sure. Maybe the 10 Plus will have a dual camera, but the regular 10 won't, and they'll work more on a, how would you say, like a portrait mode without dual camera, so they'll figure out how the Pixel 2 did it and implement it themselves. I don't know. I think there's other rumors that are getting crisscrossed. That's what it sounds like to me, because them making basically an iPhone 6 Plus and charging $700 for it doesn't seem believable to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it kind of feels like the iPhone 7 Pro rumors that we heard about like way a long time ago. Kinda. There's kind of like these random rumors like, oh, smart connector with dual camera, but then there's going to be one that doesn't have a dual mm-hmm. camera, but still the plus size with no smart connector. But that never panned out. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Only time will tell.
Yeah, I'm still guessing on 3 iPhones this year. I'm still guessing on a refreshed SE 2. With a wireless charging, so it just gets kind of the 8 treatment. So No Face ID on it, just Touch ID and the regular size bezels, but it'll have the wireless charging and the faster CPU. Maybe ditch the headphone jack. So get the iPhone 8 treatment and then the two iPhone 10-like ones. So you have your regular 5.8-inch with faster CPU, thinner camera, better camera, all that, and then the 10 Plus. That's what I'm still betting on. I really doubt the LCD 6.1-inch rumors. It seems silly.
Yeah, hopefully. All we can do is hope.
Yeah, we'll hope. Well, I'm hoping the rumors turn around, because the rumors keep saying like it's going to happen, and I'm like, no, please don't.
Yes, hopefully not. That happens. Goodness, I don't know what Apple's thinking. Well, do you have anything else to add to this discussion before we move on to our brand new segment?
Oh, okay. Let me look at my notes. I guess not really. No, let's go to your new segment.
All right. So, not sure what we're going to call this segment, but we have definitely wanted to connect with our fans more through the podcast. And so I've been collecting some comments from Twitter and YouTube, and we did a Twitter poll a little while ago, and that indicated that about 90% of you guys on Twitter would like to have some kind of a phone number that you can call and then record a voicemail that we will then play and respond to on the podcast. So I think that that is a really good middle ground between the people who wanted to be on the podcast, but obviously we can't have every single person on Twitter on the podcast because that would take a while. So I think if we set up this voicemail that we have, you can leave a message. Try to leave it between 30 seconds and a minute. Try to keep it short. Ask a good question or make a good comment, and we'll listen to all the voicemails and then respond to our favorite three or five. We'll see in the next show. So the number that you can call to be featured on next week's show is 1-855-841-1277. Once again, our phone number is 1-855-841-1277. So if you go ahead and give that phone number a call, leave us a brief voicemail, we will feature you if you have a good point in our next podcast. So anyway, hopefully that will have a good way to interact with some of our fans.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That sounds great.
Yeah, definitely. So on that note, I do have a couple questions. One from YouTube. I have been watching your live streams and collecting good questions that I think I haven't been answered well, and I'd like to see your opinion on it and maybe have a little good discussion.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you think that Apple should add haptic keyboard support for iOS on an iPhone?
That is a good question.
Kind of like Android phones, you're able to tap the keyboard and you'll get like haptic feedback. But anyway, what's your opinion on that? That was asked. Go ahead.
There's actually a couple apps that will do that, that are third party keyboards that I've downloaded before. And they're kind of cool. I feel like they're a little bit glitchy. They don't provide haptic feedback at exactly the right time. So when you're typing, they're a little bit delayed. I'm sure if Apple implemented it, they would get it right. And it's nice. I like having that kind of haptic feedback on a typing keyboard, but I feel like maybe it's the battery, or maybe they don't want their haptics going off constantly like that. It doesn't help it for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the technical side of it, but I think that if they do it, it won't be on by default.
Really?
I think it'll be a behind-the-scenes option that's like, okay, you know what? If you want it, it's there, but we want our iPhones to stay fine. And they probably are okay with the clicky sounds that when your silencer is off, they still make that ticking sound. I'm guessing they just go with that. They've had haptic engines for so long, and they've never turned that on, so I'm assuming there's some reason they don't want to do that. But yeah, I would probably use it if they made it an option to. But yeah, good question.
Yeah, I kind of have a different opinion there on the little clicky sounds.
You don't like those?
I'm a constant wearer of AirPods. And when you type with AirPods and the sound is unmuted, there's like a good half second to a second delay by the time you click the key and you hear the click, and that's just really annoying.
That's fair.
That's just me being OCD about everything.
that's fair. No, that's a good point. I didn't consider that. So. Yeah, that is definitely delayed there.
But yeah, so I think that'd be fun. I think that is all we have for this week. Sorry it is a little short as far as length, but we're hoping to be back next week with a lot of your guys' feedback and input.
Yes, definitely. Call that number, people. We're excited.
Yes, and once again, that phone number is 1-855-841-2177.
You can call Talosiv. We got a hotline now.
Uh-oh. No one's going to be picking up the phone live, just so all those fans know.
Yeah, no,
you will be pre-recording a voicemail.
That's right. Yes. Well, cool.
All right.
Does that wrap it up for this week, then?
I think so.
Okay, everyone. Thanks for watching, and we'll be, listening. We'll be still up on YouTube as much as possible, and I wanted to give a quick little plug to Talosiv Talks. If you want more content, if one video a day isn't enough for you, we're trying to be more consistent with content over on the Talks channel. You can get vlogs on there too. So thank you guys for listening, and this is your Apple Sheep here, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.